Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, The Connection. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Evans Zininga. Today we're going to talk about sexual violence against children. But first, let's take a quick look at what's happening here in the U.S. with just 3 weeks to go to the election day. In this last month of U.S. presidential campaigning, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are both trying to reach the relatively small number of voters who say they have still not decided on who to support. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns looks at the undecideds in this election.
Some Americans are already making their choice for president, with early voting underway in many states. But there remain voters who say they are undecided between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris.
You know, I just want to see, like, I understand who they are. They haven't really been involved much, and they're new to the entire political climate, both sides. They come from both interesting different backgrounds, and I want to see who they are and how they represent their candidates.
Undecided voters are about 3% of the electorate, according to public opinion polls. John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University's law school.
For a lot of voters, they haven't started paying that much attention yet. And so I think when you come up and ask them, that's the answer they might give. Some people also in the Midwest might be reticent to tell you who they'll vote for. So there could be some of that as well.
Targeted campaigning by Harris and Trump is moving some undecided voters, says University of Massachusetts political scientist Tatiche Nteta.
The population of the undecided voter is shrinking, and it shrinks with each day. Most people are going to make up their minds before Election Day, and what's really going to matter is going to be the on-the-ground mobilization of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and in what is likely going to be an extremely close election.
Trump and Harris have different challenges in convincing undecided voters, says Brookings Institution senior fellow Darrell West.
He needs to reassure Americans that, one, he respects the rule of law, that he's not going to be crazy and chaotic if he becomes a president. She, on the other hand, is less experienced. She took positions a few years ago that were much more liberal than the policies that she's espousing now. So she has to reassure voters that it's the Kamala Harris of today that they're going to get as president.
Trump, as the better known of the candidates, has both advantages and disadvantages when it comes to undecided voters, says Johnson.
Donald Trump is a candidate running for the third time for president, so most people have strong opinions about him already. Of that sliver of people who remain undecided, just a single-digit percentage number of people, both parties are working hard to convince them to vote.
That's because those undecided voters could make the difference in close swing state races that will likely decide who wins. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
And moving to Namibia, descendants of people who fled German persecution in the early 1900s are returning to their ancestral homeland. The government of Namibia has set aside 5 commercial farms for the relocation of almost 100 ethnic Abahirero people. Vitalio Angula reports from Windhoek in Namibia.
As the sun rises on a windy September day, Veron Kapitako is getting the final stamps on her immigration documents. She is among about 100 of the Herero people of Namibian descent relocating to their ancestral homeland.
This journey began in 2015, so it's been 8 years waiting for us to be repatriated to our motherland. And we waited a long time, and we were beginning to have doubts. We were not sure if one day we will come or not, but finally we managed. We arrived. We are welcome, happy faces. Everyone is happy.
Thousands of ethnic Abahirero fled Namibia in the early 1900s to escape a war between German colonizers and local resistance fighters. Nearly three-fourths of the Abahirero population, about 60,000 people, were wiped out in a genocidal campaign. Many of the 20,000 who remained found refuge in what is now Botswana, but they regarded Namibia as home.
Today is indeed a historic day, a day on which the people who are Botswana of Namibian descent are coming back and tracing their steps back to Namibia. Namibia, the country of their motherland. So it is indeed a historic day.
Carrying the luggage with toddlers in tow, about 50 of Aherero men and women cross the Gobe border post. They are escorted by government leaders and traditional chiefs to begin their new lives. More of Aherero will come when their ghetto get the necessary clearance from authorities. The Namibian government has set aside 5 commercial farms for the returnees. The new arrivals are hopeful the transition will be a smooth one.
If you give me a farm and all the implements on the farm, I'll be able to farm successfully.
This is just the beginning of a resettlement process that will take months. Namibian officials say it is a form of restorative justice for people whose ancestors lost their land so many decades ago. Vitalio Angula, VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
And we will take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those who have just joined us, please note we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7 and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Now moving back to our topic, more than 370 million girls and women alive today, or 1 in 8, experienced rape or sexual assault before the age of 18. And this is according to new UNICEF estimates released last week. The first ever global and regional estimates on sexual violence against children, published ahead of the International Day of the Girl last week, reveal the scale of the violation worldwide, especially for adolescent girls, often with lifelong implications. An earlier UNICEF report in Zimbabwe stated that over a third of girls experience sexual violence before the age of 18. For most of these girls, the perpetrators are intimate partners. Sexual violence on children has a significant impact on girls and boys who experience it. The effect is both physical as well as very psychological. And now to discuss this, we are joined by award-winning gender justice advocate and founder of Fathers Against Abuse Trust, Mr. Alois Nyamazana. And we also have human rights defender and executive director of Pumulani, Minnesota, African Women Against Violence, Ms. Comfort Dondo. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Live Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Good evening.
You are welcome. Ladies first, let's start with you, Ms. Dondo. This is a very topical issue we are discussing here today. What social and cultural norms you can think of allow sexual violence to occur in our communities, particularly looking at Zimbabwe?
Thank you again for having me. I guess cultural norms and practices that continue to perpetuate the sexual violence against children is the first one is the view and the devaluing of children in general. Children being viewed as inferior, as people who need to only be seen, not heard. And then when you add the layer of the girl child, some of those patriarchal norms, which are really not culture, they're not really part of our culture, but they were brought by colonial masters. Because before the colonialists came to our continent, there was really a matriarchal structure in our families, but I won't go into that history lesson. I just want to make sure we don't own that culture, that patriarchy is not part of our culture as African people. So what that patriarchy does, it devalues the girl child. Things like marriage, dowry, rora, as we call it in Shona, it's supposed to be a celebration of a rite of passage. But a lot of misunderstanding around the ownership of the woman from the men, I think it's a lot of those kind of traditions. And then as far as practices, you see, we have things like the practices in child marriage, traditional practices that excavate the risk of violence, practices around kuripangozi, you know, where a young girl will be married into a family because there's been a dispute or there's been a death that is caused by the other family. And especially I'll speak in ending, practices like child marriage within some religious sectors or cults, as I would call them, those kind of practices are indeed some of those that are causing a lot of the harm and normalizing the violence against women and children.
Mm-hmm. That was a very clear narrative you're painting there. Now, coming to you, Mr. Nyamazana, it's very interesting to see men standing up where women will be pointing fingers and say, you are the perpetrators, but it's good to see men standing up and saying we are here to defend, to protect. What's your take? Do young people have enough equipment, enough accessibility to accurate information, age-appropriate, that empowers them to recognize abuse when it happens?
Thank you so much for that question. When it comes to accurate information, I think for me that is one of the greatest challenges that we face, maybe in the continent of Africa as a whole, because you will notice that people still have that perception of traditional norms and practices around child marriage, child sexual abuse is normal. So we still normalize those things because people don't have access to information. I'll just give an example. To say recently the government of Zimbabwe passed a law that says that children who are under the age of 18 should not consent to sex. But reality is you have to do a poll right now to check how many people are aware or what percentage of the population is aware that we have a new law that sticks to that. You'll find that perhaps we only have less than 10% of people who are aware that a child who is under the age of 18 years is not allowed to consent to sex, or cannot consent to sex. So issues of access to information is a very big challenge. So you notice that information usually is accessed mostly through the radio, through newspapers, and sometimes online platforms. Of course, these platforms play a fundamental role in terms of disseminating information. I know, for example, Studio 7 is accessible even in rural areas. But there are also some people who cannot even access those communication channels. So it then becomes a challenge. Because one of the things that also perpetuates sexual violence is poverty. And the most vulnerable people cannot access things like radio, cannot access things like data to go online, they cannot access your television, a newspaper, and all those things. So they remain in darkness. They don't have access to information. So as a result, even if a person gets married, there's a physical, there's sexual abuse, in some communities it's actually viewed as normal. So access to information is a very, very big challenge. And that means even shifting norms will remain a challenge. Because people can only, I always tell people that right now we have a new law that says a child cannot consent to sex before six, before 18, they cannot get married before 18. But if people are not aware of that information, you know that we will continue to have filling prisons with criminals who are not even aware of the law. And that does not change much in terms of, you know, addressing the problem gender of children sexual abuse. So, yeah, access to information is a big challenge. There's also the urban rural divide. Mostly people in the rural areas, they are the more disadvantaged, yet they are the most affected. People in the rural area don't have internet, they don't have radio, television, and all those things. So there's also the issue of urban rural divide. And also the cost of data in Zimbabwe is very high. And so for people to be able to go through the internet and all those things is a challenge. So in short, I would say access to information on these issues is a big deal. And sometimes, maybe just lastly, sometimes the information is also disseminated using, you know, even English, and we don't have mostly vernacular languages or local languages. So in the end, people may not even understand. I think sometimes the way we even disseminate the information, maybe it's development partners or even other stakeholders, mm-hmm. is friendly to the needs of the communities.
Aha. Uh-huh. Whew, that was quite a mouthful. A lot of information there from Mr. Nyamazana. Let me come back to you, Ms. Dondo. Vana vadiki vasikanava vari kusangana nematambudziko ese avari kusangana nawo aya, ambunyikidzwa, abatwa chibharo, amanikidzwa kuroorwa. A lot of what's happening to them. What needs to be done so that these victims and survivors have access to services that support justice and healing after everything that's happening to them?
Ini ndinoona chinhu chekutanga chiri kuti hurumende yedu ndiyo inofanira kutora danho rakakurisa rekuti risupporte maorganizations anenge maorganizations yanzvadzi yangu varipa nhare neni maorganizations arikurwira kudzivirira kudzvinyirirwa kwevanasikana nemadzimai pabonde. Panofanira kuita ipo dzidzo yekuwedzera kuziva, anoti maprevention awareness projects, kuita zvirongwa zvekudzidzisa vana mumhuri uye nharaunda nezvekodzero, mvumo uye kukosha kwekugamuchira mhosva kana munhu abatwa achiita chinhu chakadai. Kunofanira kunge kuchisimbiswa mitemo. Tofanira kukurudzira mitemo ine simba uye nzira yekudzivirira vana kubva mukudzvanyirirwa uye kuona kuti mitemo iyo inotevedzerwa. Nokutangoita mitemo inoitwa pasina kutevedzerwa kwayo zvinonetsa. Ndokurudzirawo zvakare ndokurudzira kusimudzira madzimai nevanasikana. Vanasikana nemadzimai vakasimudzirwa vanowana voice ravo, vanowana kuzvimiririra. Nekuti dzimwe dzacho nguva inhau yenhamo kuti vana vanopedzisira vaiswa, vampunyukidzwa pakadaro. Tekupedzisira ndinoti dai hurumende yedu yakwanisa kuincluda makaricurum edu kubvira vana vachiri kupreschool, curriculum yemabhuku anotaura nezvebody autonomy, mabhuku anovabatsira kuti vazive kuti chakanaka ndechipi, chisiri normal ndechipi. Nekuti mukupedzisira ndinoti kubatwa chibharo kwemwanasikana achigere kuva munhukadzi, mudzimai, the sexual child abuse of a girl child, of a young child, it destroys her life from that very onset. Inokanganisa upenyu hwake. Anozosara okura ave mudzimai anozororeka, asi kumberi kwazvo kunenge kune zvinhu zvakawanda zvokuti anogona kutadza kuita mai vakanaka chaivo kuvana vake, yatinoti post-traumatic stress disorder. Saka ndinoti kune hurumende yedu kana vakateerera dai yaenda papriority yavo yekudzivirira kubatwa, kumbunyukidzwa kwemadzimai nevanasikana pabonde.
Before I move back to you, Mr. Nyamazana, I understand we've got a caller. Tine musikana wechidiki, a youth activist from Harare, Tashel Sagia. Tashel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for joining on the show. Same musikana wechidiki, what's happening around you? Tell us, paint a picture for us. Nyaya ye sexual violence, sexual harassment, yevana vasikana iyi, uri musikana kaiwe, zvakamira sei munharaunda mamugero?
Actually, the situation is so bad because, you know, the recent rates of vakasiyana-siyana, especially backgrounds, many religions,
Mm-hmm.
I still remember when I was growing up, Tamik Sidopedi, I had a friend, right? This friend of mine was an orphan. She was like 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I still remember when it was form three, I can not find it in the country, because the mother of Tamik Sidopedi line changes. So and end of holiday, another joke. So because of the shaky, like, struggling background, Rana, Sana, Larkuru, and working with Fasularini, Latin Garden, that's one thing. Then another thing, number two, I think religion, church, especially church, Zana Marandi, is, I still remember I had a tenant, he was 15 when I was 18, and married. And according to her, I thought he was not a teacher and it's normal. And she was expecting someone 2 years younger to come join a thing from our language in Corora, so he was 16, so I said, little children, Murumi Wanga, 2 years younger than me, which is 18. Then I am 18 or all. I expect for someone 2 years younger, single daughter. So at the end of the day, people are struggling or religion, but religion is the worst cause. They may have contributed to these things.
Okay. Tirikuzvinzwa zvamataura izvo vanzvadzi. I hope vadare vedu vakateerera vanzwa mwana achitsanangura uyu. Sister Nyamazana, mamunzwa here musikana uyu zvaari kutaura?
Ndakatsinzwa zvimwe zvacho, but zvimwe zvacho handaiwaza kuzvinzwa, but I heard what they were saying in terms of what the challenge that young people are facing, particularly girls.
Mm-hmm. Ari kubata nyaya dziri kii mbiri dzekuti vabereki kuroodza vana vadiki vasati vabvazera, abata nyaya yemakereke, the religion, cults and churches, doctrines dzinoti vana varoorwe vachingoroorwa vari vadiki, pamwe pacho pamabarika ari kutsanangurwa iwaya. That brings me to where I was coming at, kwamuri, kuti iwo mitemo, the laws and regulations in the country, do you feel the laws and regulations are there to protect children from all forms of sexual violence?
I would say Zimbabwe has one of the best legal framework in terms of protecting children. I think we've done well as a country in terms of enacting laws that are meant to protect the children. I think I was actually highlighting one piece of legislation that the government recently passed that prohibits sex to children who are below the age of 18. Our constitution is very clear to say children below the age of 18 should not get married. So I think we have very best, but having a piece of legislation and implementing it are two different things. So what we have as a country, we have good pieces of paper in terms of legislation, but implementation is what lacking. So we continue having cases like what our sister was raising, cases of children, especially within the apostolic sector and even other sectors, children who are getting married at a very young age, but we haven't really seen people being convicted and sentenced for those cases. So that is the challenge that's there. So, you know, people continue and, committing these crimes, but some of them, they even work scot-free, perhaps also about corruption within the justice system, which is also a challenge. So, yeah, I would say we have a very good legal framework, but it's not being implemented. And also even the fact that people are not even aware of the law itself. So we need to educate people about the laws, and that can then help to shift norms and also make sure that we implement the system. And I also believe that perception is very important, my brother. Even some people actually didn't even report because they feel that the justice system somehow is also cumbersome in terms of accessing the justice itself. So we have a piece of legislation, but is it accessible? That is another question that we have to ask ourselves. How efficient is it? The person is in a proper case, you turn around for the conclusion and for the closing of this case. It may also take long. So people end up, you know, getting tired and they give up on their cases. So I think that those are some of the things that we need to address, especially as government. Government should make sure that the justice delivery system efficient so that the piece of legislation that we have works for children.
Mm-hmm. That's very loud and clear there. Moving back to Ms. Dondo, Vanyamazana here raises the point here, government, and Kutivano Dakunzwa. I need to ask you this one. Who holds government and communities accountable to implement these international standards like, you know, laws and regulations and behavior among us, the people? Kuitira kuti vana vachengetedzeke.
Munemubvunzo wakanaka ndazi. So organization yedu takatanga kushana nebumbiro ritsva richiri mukugadziriswa iko zvino rinonzi iro Global Treaty on Ending Violence Against Women and Girls. Global Treaty yakangofanana nemutemo wekusabvumirwa kubhema fodya kana uchipinda mundege. It's a universal law. Whether you're flying to Siberia or you're flying to Namibia from Zimbabwe, I will pretend there will put a fojka. Uka put a fojka muchimbuzi, uno charge got the same amount of money because it's a universal law. So to, right now, tuku wawara kujere United Nations, wari semu, kutrite mumbiro remtemo, kutu ukabata mwana shibaro, uri ku Malaysia, ukabata mwana shibaro, uri kumashingo, uri kubohera, ukabata mwana shibaro kumi New York City, the consequences are the same universally. Indo funga uti ishi ndo chabatira wakuti hurumende edu, inge ishizo ramba ichita uti ma laws wayo aramba ishuwa reinforce. Na kuti there has to be consequences for each nation, for each government to uphold its citizens. Kuti vange vasinga jingire vanasika ni mazimai. Panishoso. Mugantende rao shakari, kato kutawara na uyanda kanganwa, endasia. Tine na uye...
Muiti gaga ganguwa yedu ya kuzopera.
Chakanaka, tine na uye this idea ya deadism. Na uye ewa nuwerume wano shandisa ma platform za havo, vane mkurumbira kuluwa mazimai. Na uye yunu fana utari kwa tikata sauna. Ninga na TB Joshua. Sori nchatara ya mazita pano. Na TB Joshua.
Zitaremu ni imombe azazi.
No, TB Joshua. Kuna na Puff Daddy vasungwa. Pane vanhu vanopepetrate violence kwa makore ne makore, madekezi ne madekezi, nekuti tisu tinovapa simba, tinovapa maplatform, tovadaidza kuti macelebrity, tovadaidza kuti vana dedi. Saka ndosana pane mwanasikana akateerera, ukaona munhu asiri baba wako akakuzvara achizviti dedi, unofanira kubvunza kuti munhu uyu zvakambomira sei. Vanhu vane madedi characters vanopedzisira baba vadzvanyirira madzimai akawanda, nekuti maplatforms avainawo vanoenda nerweseri vachinoluwa madzimai. Kana anotaura ufunga kuti haisi sexual abuse, but sexual abuse nekuti munhu iyeanga akangoshandisa platform yake kudzvanyirira madzimai nenzira idzodzo.
Aiwa, yakajeka iyo. Tinotenda vadare vedu vatanga tinavo nhasi, mukuru wesangano Fathers Against Abuse Trust, Alois Nyamazana, as well as human rights defender and executive director of Pumulani, Minnesota, African Women Against Violence, Miss Dondo. We also thank you, our listeners and our viewers, from wherever you've been watching and listening from. This brings us to the end of the show, and I'm signing off in Washington. I'm Evans Zininga.